Hello, I'm sat in a hide overlooking an area of water on which there's lots of birds. And I'm talking to Brian Ankers, chairman of Wolston Eyes Conservation Group. We're going to go for a little walk around the site in a few minutes, Brian. But before we do, can you tell us a little bit about the site and about the group as well, please?
Yes, Wolston Eyes Conservation Group was set up in 1979 after a meeting with the directors of the Manchester Ship Canal Company. The area is used or has been used for dredgings from the ship canal. There's four beds, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and each bed is used in rotation. They put the dredgings on, and when one bed's filled up, then they go to the next bed and put the sides up on one of the beds and then just carry on dredging. So we had a rotation of habitat, which is very good for the birds. So we've got plenty of water and reeds. Other areas we've got woodland, other areas we've got grassland, and so we've got various habitats for all the different kinds of birds that we get down on the reserve.
And how big is the site, Ryan?
The whole area is, each bed is roughly, very roughly 200 acres, so the whole area is around about 800 acres, and the number three bed is the main bed because that's an island bed. Number four bed, we have a lease on part of it. The rest of the area is just managed by the Ship Canal Company for their commercial purposes, and we work alongside the Canal Company. In other words, it's conservation working along with commerce, which is quite nice these days, and we get a lot of help from the Ship Canal Company.
Now, I know where we are, Brian, in relation to Warrington and the Manchester Ship Canal, but if I didn't know that, if I'd just been placed here all of a sudden, I'd swear blind that we were in the middle of nowhere. It's got a tremendous feeling of solitude here.
Yes, it is. It's like an oasis, really, in an otherwise industrial area. You've got the Thirlwall Viaduct, which is the M6 motorway, going through part of the reserve, and then to the west of the reserve, you've got Warrington itself. To the south, you've got Thirlwall, and to the north, you've got Wolston. But this is just an oasis right in the middle of that conurbation.
OK, well, we'll take a walk round the site and have a chat about some of the things we can see. But just before we do, what sort of birds can we see in front of us?
Well, just at the moment, we're looking at a brood of tufted duck, three little babies. We have about 4% of the national breeding population of gadwall here, of pochard, and the very rare black-necked grebe, which we have the biggest breeding colony in the whole of the UK, mallard, great crested grebe, and then a lot of warblers, sedge warbler, reed warbler. It's an extremely important area for warblers who actually migrate from here down to Africa all in one go. A lot of the warblers go from UK and have to stop to feed, but because the food source is so rich here, they can actually go in one flight, and we have the ringers who record the birds, and they go down then to Gambia and places like that and re-catch the birds, so they do know where the birds go to, and it's a very interesting thing that they do, because what happens is when the birds come back, quite often they're found within 20 yards of where they were actually born, which is quite remarkable when you think they're going thousands of miles and they come back to more or less where they were born.
That's fantastic, Brian. What we'll do is we'll go for a walk and we'll see what else we can see and hear. So, Brian, we're walking along, the birds are singing in the background, lots of undergrowth, and what do I spy in front of me? Is that a toilet?
Well, this is our latest addition. It's called an EnviroLoo, and specially designed, because there's no electricity, there's no water on here, so it's specially designed to biodegrade, and there's a, without going into too much detail, there's a big tank underneath, and there's a panel on the side which the sun shines on, specially designed. And that biodegrades the loo.
So people can use the facilities without damaging the environment.
Exactly that. Yes, because it's totally wild out here. So it's a convenience, shall we say, for all the visitors that we have. Yeah, and the EnviroLoo, by the way, has been funded by the lottery. So we're grateful to them for that.
Okay, let's carry on walking, Brian. Okay, I mentioned the greenery that's all around us, Brian. It's like we really are in the wilds here.
Yes, these tall white flowered plants are called cow parsley. Very good for insects, bees, which of course are very good for feeding the birds. There are thistles amongst them, which are, when they come in flower, are also very good for birds like goldfinch. They love the seeds from the thistle. This particular area where we are now, it's all natural wild flowers, but there are other parts of the reserve where we have a massive problem with Himalayan balsam, which is introduced many years ago from China, and it's just becoming invasive, not just here but all over the country. We have in progress and carrying on an eradication program. I don't think we'll ever get rid of it, but we'll be able to reduce it quite considerably, but it is becoming a really big problem. It is, however, strangely quite good for bees. Bees actually like the pollen from Himalayan balsam, but the damage it causes is really, the bees would be better going somewhere else.
Do you ever have a problem with Japanese knotweed?
Luckily, we don't have a problem with Japanese knotweed at the moment, so we're just keeping an eye on that, but Himalayan balsam is the biggest problem at the moment.
So we've come along now, Brian, and there's some nets just strung up, and there's a little bird that's been trapped in. You tell me what that is, please.
Yes, these are mist nets that the ringers use for catching birds. They're, as you can see, well, you can't see because they're almost invisible. The birds fly into the net and then they fall down into a pocket. It doesn't hurt the birds, it doesn't really distress the birds, and then the ringers, who are highly trained and highly responsible, they actually get the bird out of the net and then put the rings on, weigh them, measure them and all that. And Kieran, our head ringer, is actually doing that now. He's just taking the bird out, handling it very, very carefully, puts it into a bag, which sort of makes it dark and therefore the bird doesn't get distressed, and then he put the ring on and just set it free, and the bird will be no worse off.
Because these nets, as you say, are so fine, and that particular bird was quite small, is there a maximum size of bird that these nets will catch?
Well, no, not really. We've caught some sparrowhawks, we've caught kestrels, we've caught, what's the biggest bird you've caught? Wood pigeon's probably the biggest bird that we've caught. But no, they'll anything that flies into them will get caught, basically. Yeah, but it doesn't distress the bird. It needs to, you know, we used to make that point. It doesn't distress them at all.
Now, we're in what could be described as a slightly wooded area of the site. Are the nets always put out in this type of environment, or maybe in the environment that we've just seen with the tall grasses and stuff?
Yeah, they put out in various. The ringers have what they call rides, so they cut a sort of a ride through between the trees. They also do them in the reeds as well for reed warblers and sedge warblers. Cut a ride through the reeds as well, and just have a little gap so they can walk along, and then the birds fly into the net and they're ringed.
And I would imagine it's also the case, Brian, that some birds get caught that have been ringed elsewhere.
Yes, that quite often happens elsewhere and on here as well. So we can monitor what the birds do. We can, if we keep ringing them on here, then we know they're staying here. Or we can get birds that have been ringed elsewhere. And also, of course, we get newly ringed birds, and then, you know, they'll be monitored as well.
And is the information that's on the ring, is that an internationally accepted format?
Yes. It's if any birds are ringed abroad anywhere, then it all goes to a central database, and we can monitor where the birds either come from or go to.
Okay, well, let's carry on walking, Brian, and see what else we can see here at Wolston Eyes Nature Reserve. So we've walked a little bit further on now, Brian, and I'm going to put you on the spot. As a man who's been watching birds for a number of years, do you have a particular favourite?
Well, my favourite bird song is actually the willow warbler, and this is a warbler that comes in for the summer from Africa. And when I hear my first willow warbler, the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end, I think it's absolutely superb.
So that, I'm assuming from that, although you like their song, that's not your favourite bird.
Well, my favourite bird, as against my favourite bird song, my favourite bird is a peregrine falcon. And the reason a peregrine falcon is it's such a superb flyer. And the main food for a peregrine is actually pigeons. And they sort of go up above the bird and then shoot down at about 180 miles an hour. And to actually look at the bird with its black mustachial stripe is an absolute joy.
And both of those species are represented here at the reserve?
Yes, both are on here. And the interesting thing is about the peregrine falcon is that they actually breed every year on Thelwall Viaduct, which is the main M6 motorway over the Ship Canal.
OK, let's walk a little bit further on now, Brian, and see if we can see some more. So, Brian, we've moved up a bit and the weather's taken a little bit of a turn for the worse. But what can we see in front of us now?
Yes, if you look across there, you'll see the flora is kind of different than the rest of the area. And this is what we call a winter feed crop. We sow the seed in April, May, for the crop to produce seeds with triticale, quinoa, oats and that millet, that kind of thing. And this is for the birds to feed on in the winter. That's the birds that come over here in the winter, brambling chaffinches and that kind of thing. It's a natural food source for them to see them through the winter. And then just beyond that, you can see another area of different flora again, which is our wildflower meadow area. This is not cultivated, but natural wildflowers, which again attract insects. There's quite a few rarish plants in there. There's cowslips, and there's snake's head fritillary, and yellow rattle, and various other wildflowers, which are very good for insects.
And of course, if people want to try and encourage birds into their gardens, one way they can do that is to have a little bit of a wild garden.
Yes, that's a very good way of encouraging birds in a natural way into your garden, is if you can have a little area of wild, like nettles and things, because nettles are very good for tortoiseshell and red admiral butterflies to lay their eggs on, and any other sort of wildflower area is very good for insects, which again is very good for the birds.
Okay, what we'll do, Brian, is walk on a bit more and hopefully this rain will abide. Okay, so we've come inside to shelter from the rain because it's getting a bit inclement outside. Brian, we're going to talk in a short while about how people can find out more about the group. We're going to give out the website details. But you mentioned to me that there's a bit of the River Mersey not too far from where we're stood. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yes, on the south side of the number 3 bed is the old bed of the Mersey, which is a sort of oxbow loop. And where the old Mersey Weir was, they've bunded it off, and they've bunded it off further along. So that area now is just dormant water, basically, which the canal company were going to use to put dredgings in other words creating airspace, but the Environment Agency wouldn't give them a licence, so that's it's a part of the reserve now. And the river itself was actually diverted to the north of the bed through a new siphon weir. Interestingly, the new siphon weir, when it was built, had a salmon ladder built at the side. People were saying, well, there's no point in the salmon because no salmon come up, but now there's a lot of salmon actually jumping up the weir. If you go in the spring or the autumn run, you will see salmon by quite big numbers jumping up the weir.
And of course the water quality in the Mersey, as you say, is much, much better than it was as little as 30 years ago.
The water quality in the Mersey now is very, very good, yes, because they've done a lot of work, and consequently that's why the salmon are running up the river in good numbers now.
Now, if anyone wants to find out more about Wolston Eyes and Wolston Eyes Nature Reserve, how can they do that?
Yes, well, the best way is to go on our website, which is we've had a new website, very ably done by one of our wardens called John Blundell. I take no credit for it, but it is a super website, and the website is WolstonEyes, all one word, .com. If you go on there, all the information you need is on there. You can download an application form, and it tells you everything about what we do and why we do it.
And contact details are on the website as well, Brian.
Yes, that's right. All the contact details are on there, where to send your application for a permit. Your permit and key, which you'll need, you pay for, and that will be sent by return of post.
Okay, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I've been talking to Brian Ankers, chairman of Wolston Eyes Conservation Group, about Wolston Eyes, a hidden gem in the midst of an urban environment. Thank you very much for seeing me today, Brian. The weather's turned a little bit inclement, but there's still been a lot to see here. So thank you very much for speaking to me today.
My pleasure.
And if you're at all interested in finding out more about the reserve, then go on to the website, as Brian says.